Jai. So, I looked at the Bhagavatam verse for today, and there are no verses that, well, there are verses, but there's only one short purport by Srila Prabhupada, and about 20 or something just reading. So I thought maybe we'd just spend more time here just speaking about Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj today. And I'm going to read a little bit of a biography on him. And then after that, maybe we can have a little discussion. Something more we can speak about Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Anyway, we'll begin. This is something that I got from the Gaudiya history, ISKCON Desire Tree. I thought it was a pretty nice biography of Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and I don't think we read this that or ever before, so not too much, only a few pages, and then we'll do a little bit of discussion. Namo Gaurakishoraya Shakshat Varagya Murtaye Vipralamba Rasambode Padambujayate Namaha. So, early life of Gaurkishore Das Babaji. Paramahamsa Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj was born in a Vaishya family on the banks of the Padma River in Bagayana village in Faridpur district in Bangladesh. The names of his parents were never known. His given name when he was born was Vamsidas, and he was born sometime in the middle of the 19th century. He's very important in our disciplic succession because he was actually the spiritual master for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. And so, of course, we know that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was the guru for His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So this is very important in the disciplic succession. It says that Vamsidas' parents had him married at an early age according to the custom of the time, but always remained detached from household life. His main interest was always worshipping the Lord. When his wife died, he left and went to Vrindavan, where he took the Paramahamsa Vaishya from a Babaji in Vrindavan, who was a disciple of Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And he took the name Gaurkishore Das Babaji. And after being initiated into the Babaji order, Gaurkishore Das spent 30 years in Rajabhum, whom he engaged in intense religious practice. He also traveled outside of Raja area, and he visited different parts of India, northern India, Bengal. And while in the east, he met many of leading Vaishnavas in Bengal and Orissa at that time. And there were many Babajis. So he had their association. He developed a lot of intense bhajan, chanting of the holy name, in the association of these Babajis. So it goes on to say that in 1893, when the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was inaugurated at Sri Mayapur Yoga Pit, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj ordered him to stay in Navadvip. This is where Gaurkishore remained for the rest of his life. He saw all the residents of Navadvip with transcendental eyes, considering them to be divine beings. He thus accepted Madhukari. Madhukari means he lived by begging. He would go door to door and beg foodstuffs. And if he got anything, he would cook it. And everything he would cook in a rejected clay bowl. It is said that sometimes he would subsist on nothing but Ganges water and mud. It says that he used to take Ganges mud, roll it into like a ball, and then with Ganges water, that would be his meal. Sometimes he would go for long periods without eating, chanting the holy names constantly. He set the standard for those in the renounced order who lived the life of solitary worship, remaining completely independent of others. Mahaprabhu's personal envoy, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, was extremely impressed by Gaurkishore's extraordinary renunciation. His pure devotion and his attachment to Lord was unsurpassed. Gaurkishore Das Babaji would often go to Bhaktivinoda's home in Godrumdvip, Savananda Shukada Kunj, where he would listen to him give readings of the Bhagavat and discuss Vaishnava theology with him. Babaji Maharaj never accepted service from anyone. He constantly chanted the holy name, sometimes counting the names on Tulsi Mala, and at other times by making knots on long strips of an old cloth. His favorite texts were Narottam Thakur's Prarthana and Prema Bhakti Chandrika, which he considered to be his all-in-all. His renunciation resembled that of Raghunath Das Goswami, and he possessed the same attachment to Krishna. In 1898, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur for the first time at Swananda Shukad Kunj in Godrum Dweep. Saraswati Thakur was enchanted by Babaji Maharaj's heartfelt emotional kirtan. He wrote the kirtan down and later taught it to his own disciples. It's a very lengthy song, but I'll read some of what it says. It's, quote, "Where is the incarnation of love? Radhe, Radhe. Glories to Radha. Show yourself to me, Radha. Give me back my life. I have become a beggar for you, Radha, and I'm calling you. O Radha, you cavort in Vrindavan. You enchant Krishna's mind. You are chief amongst the eight Shakis and are the daughter of Vrishabhanu." Raghunath Das Goswami regularly, constantly calls out to you, Radha. He calls for you in Keshigat, in Vamsi Bhatta, Niduvana, Kunjavana, and Radhakun and Shamakun, in Kusumavana and Govardhan, in Talavana and Tamalavana. He calls out wearing only a worn and dirty cloth and rolling in the Vrindavan dust. The names of Radha on his lips, his eyes are filled with tears. He wanders through every part of Braja calling Radha's name. Night or day for 23 hours he thinks of nothing but Radha and Govinda. And when he sleeps he dreams of Radha and Govinda. So this was his heartfelt song that he would chant every day continuously. And this was the mood of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. In January of 1900, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur took initiation from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji on the instructions of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was a Babaji Maharaj's only disciple. Babaji Maharaj was an anchorite who had sworn not to take any disciples, but he was forced to change his decision when he saw Saraswati Thakur's determination and devotion. The story is told that Srila Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj asked Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj several times to give him initiation. The first time he asked, Babaji Maharaj told him, "If Mahaprabhu tells me, I will do." The second time Babaji Maharaj told him that he had forgot. The second time Babaji Maharaj told him that he had forgotten to ask Mahaprabhu. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta did not give up and came a third time. Babaji Maharaj said, quote, "Virtuousness, scholarship, and other qualities are not the means to attain the Lord. They do not give you any right to initiation." Though he had been turned back by Gaur Kishore Das Babaji repeatedly, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta did not abandon his resolution. Ramanuja Acharya was turned back 18 times before receiving the mercy of Goshti Purna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta showed his qualities of patience and determination, continued to come to Babaji Maharaj, humbly entreating him to give him initiation, until finally his heart melted and out of great affection, mercifully initiated Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj by sprinkling the dust of his lotus feet on his head. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji would never allow any materialistic persons to touch his feet. If they did so, he would make a show of anger, saying, "You are doomed." Most people were thus afraid to attempt it. On this occasion, however, he himself offered the dust of his feet to his dear disciple and smeared it on his body. From Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's disciples, it is heard that he was turned back 12 times before Babaji Maharaj became compassionate and initiated him at his 13th request. Others say that it happened on the fourth time. The story remains one of Narottam's initiation by Lokanath Goswami. Unswerving dedication to the Guru is a sign of a disciple. Afterward, Babaji Maharaj, judging Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj to be eminently qualified for the task, blessed him and ordered him to preach Mahaprabhu's message all around the world. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj describes his guru. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj wrote the following words about his guru with exemplary humility in order to show the world definitely the path of auspiciousness. Quote, "In order to complete the gaping needs that I felt, I was busily trying to get my hands on everything under the sun. I thought that possessions would fulfill my needs. Over time, I had indeed accumulated a great number of rare possessions, but I was not able to rid myself of the sense of being unfulfilled. I had encountered many personalities who were reputed to be great saints, but saw various lacunae in every one of them, and so was unable to give them any respect. Unfortunately, the supremely merciful Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu allowed two of his dearest companions to show their kindness to me. I was egotistically so self-absorbed that I had completely lost any sense of where my well-being could be found. Even so, due to past pious activities, I was able to get the association of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was my ever-well-wisher. My Prabhu often came to visit him and sometimes stayed overnight at his house. Out of mercy to me, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur introduced me to him. From the time that I first met my Prabhu, my stubborn egoism started to diminish. Previously, I used to think that everyone who took birth in a human body was filled with the same faults that I had, but upon seeing my Prabhu's divine character, I realized that there truly were flawless Vaishnavas in this world who matched the ideal. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta further wrote, "Many people who saw Gaurakishordas Babaji, whether innocent or experienced, young or old, learned or ignorant, or proud of their being advanced devotees, were not able to truly see him. This is the divine power of Krishna's devotees. Hundreds of people came to him seeking help in fulfilling their material desires, and he would give them advice. But this was a kind of deception. There are countless persons who take on the dress of a saintly person and make a show of acting like a saintly person, but on closer analysis are far from the standard. My Prabhu was not a cheater like them. It is clear from his spiritual activities that he identified complete honesty with the truth. His sincere affection was incomparable. It proved that the attainment of spiritual powers is a deception. He showed no enmity for those who opposed him or disagreed with him. Similarly, he made no particular external show of affection for those who were objects of his compassion. He used to say, quote, I neither love nor hate anyone in this world. Everyone is the object of my respect. Amazingly, Prabhu would be surrounded by people with no understanding, fakers and materialists, inimical to the path of pure devotion, who thought themselves to be recipients of such a saintly person's mercy, but continued to engage in sensual activities. Prabhu never openly rejected any of these people, but he never openly accepted any of them either. So, Babaji Maharaj, Babaji Maharaj was an expert judge of character and had highly developed foresight and clairvoyance, often foretelling events in this distant future. On the 30th of Kartik in 1322, Paramahamsa Srila Gaurakishordas Babaji entered the eternal pastimes of the Lord. At that time, he was residing at Ranira Dharmashala in Kulia. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur received the news of his disappearance, he was overcome with feelings of separation from his guru and immediately hurried to the site of his departure. He was heartbroken to see that Mahantas of various Akharyas or ashrams were busily arguing about where and how to bury his body. The idea of the Babaji's was to lay claim to any future Samadhi temple, as such a temple would be an attractive pilgrimage site and a possible source of money-making. Srila Prabhupada alone stood up and spoke out against this rascaldom. As things heated up, Navadvip's chief of police, Jatindranath Singh Roy Bahadur, came to maintain the peace. At that time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had not yet taken Tridandi sannyas. The Babaji's argued that as they had taken the renounced order, they had the right to perform the last rites for one of their order. As this was not the case for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he had no rights. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj displayed his spiritual strength and stated that he was Babaji Maharaj's one and only disciple. He then asked them if there was any amongst them who had not had illicit sexual relations in the previous 6 months, or even in the previous 3 months, or 1 month, or even in the previous 3 days. He who had so done would be doomed if he touched Babaji Maharaj's divine remains. When he heard Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj make this challenge, Jatindra Babu asked how anyone could prove whether or not he had illicit sexual connections. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj answered that he would take anyone who came forward at his word. When the Babajis looked at the effulgence of pure spiritual practice emanating from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, they slowly slunk away one by one. The chief of police was embarrassed at this sight, and he paid his obeisances to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and then left himself. Some residents of Kulia told Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj what Babaji Maharaj had said about his last desires. Apparently, he had stated that he wished his body to be dragged through the streets of Navadvip so that it would be covered by the dust of the holy Dham. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj replied, "This is my Gurudev. Even Krishna is honored to carry him on his shoulders and carries him like a crown upon his head." He said these things to confound the pride of the materialist with his humility. We may be inexperienced fools and offenders, but we should still make an effort to understand his intention. When Haridas Thakur entered his eternal pastimes, Lord Garanga took his body to his chest and danced with it. What a precedent he set for honoring the perfected soul's departure. We would rather follow Mahaprabhu's example and carry the Siddha Baba's divine remains on our head. End of quote. On the first day of Agrahayan in Kuliya's Nutana Charya, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta performed the Samadhi rites for Srila Gaurakishordas Babaji according to Vaishnav Smriti injunctions. A certain Podar Mahashaya of Loha Garia in Jashore district gave the land for the Samadhi, renouncing any claims on the property. Later, however, he reneged on his promise and came to live there himself and engaged in various illicit activities on the site. During the Ganges floods one season, the Samadhi temple was washed into the river. On the 5th of Bhadra, 1339 Bengali, 1932, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Thakur retrieved some of his remnants from the Ganges bed and took them to the Chaitanya Math, where he established a Samadhi temple on the banks of Radhakund. The site was consecrated on the 2nd of Ashvini 1932. And in the course of time, a small temple housing a murti of Gaurakishordas Babaji was constructed there. The murti's nichaseva has continued ever since. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur told of a few events from Gaurakishordas Babaji's life which are full of import for the practitioner of devotional life. One, on one occasion, a certain Babaji came to visit Srila Gaurakishordas Babaji with some of his followers in tow. They began glorifying the Guru to Babaji Maharaj. "Our Prabhu is so merciful. He takes so much trouble to travel from place to place to deliver the poor fallen souls. If he did not travel, what would be the destiny of these forsaken places?" Babaji Maharaj immediately became cross and answered, quote, "If someone makes a pretense of delivering the world when in fact he is only interested in making money and garnering prestige, he not only does no one any good, but falls down from having cheated others." End of quote. This is what he said in front of this Babaji with all his disciples. Two, one day a few devotees were describing the expertise of a particular lecturer on the Bhagavad. Babaji Mahashaya knew that this individual received money for his services. He said, quote, this fellow does not explain the Bhagavat or the scriptures of the Goswamis. He is simply speaking on the sense gratification scriptures. He isn't chanting Gora Gora or Krishna Krishna, but he is chanting money money. It has nothing to do with bhajan. The end result is that the true Vaishnava religion is obscured. Nothing good can come from it. Indeed, the world will be harmed by such preaching. Another one. One day, Babaji Mahashaya was chanting japa late at night when suddenly he jumped up and exclaimed, quote, "Did you see that? Did you see? A professional speaker on the Bhagavad has gone to Padna district and has just made a chaste widow break her vows. What a shame. These rascals are giving Mahaprabhu's religion a bad name." End of quote. He spoke as if he were personally witnessing the event. The owner of the Navadvipa Dharmashala was a certain Girishah Babu. One day his wife offered to build a cottage for Babaji Maharaj. He answered, quote, "I have no problem sleeping under the straw shelter on a boat. The only problem I have is that so many rascals are constantly coming to me asking me to bless them. They disturb my chanting. They don't really want my blessings because they don't really want what is best for them. But still they come to disrupt my chanting the holy name. If you give me your brick outhouse, I will be able to chant in peace. No one will come to bother me there." When he realized that Babaji Mahashaya was serious, Girishah Babu immediately had the outhouse purified with cow dung and brought in a mason to completely redo the building. You know what an outhouse is, right? Where everybody goes to defecate. And so he would rather be in that place and chanting and be left alone. Okay. One day, the Raj of Kosum Bazar, Sri Manindra Chandra Nandi Bahadur, invited Babaji Maharaj to his palatial residence for a Vaishnava assembly. Babaji Mahashaya answered, quote, "If you want my association, leave all your riches and come and live under a bamboo shelter like mine. You won't have to worry about food. I will beg for enough to feed both of us. If I go to stay in your place, it won't be long before I start desiring to enjoy sense gratification. I will start thinking about how I can accumulate a property for myself. Then, before you know it, I will become your enemy. If you want to preserve our friendship, and if you wish to be kind to me as your Vaishnava friend, then you will come to the Dham, and join me in worshipping the Lord and eating Madhukari." So this is some pastimes of Gaurakishore Das Babaji. So maybe we could have a little bit of a discussion. I think that was... Yes. Yes. Okay.
Thank you. One of my questions was, can you explain a little bit? Because I've heard that Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj was only a Shiksha disciple of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but he is considered to be in our Sampradaya. So can you explain how that works out?
Well, just like today, you know, you can take Shiksha from Srila Prabhupada. You're initiated by a bona fide guru in ISKCON. But you can also take Shiksha from Srila Prabhupada by studying his instructions in his books and other instructions that Prabhupada gave. So you could take Shiksha. So this is what Gaurakishore Das Babaji did. He took Shiksha from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur by going to him and listening to him preach Krishna consciousness, and that's how he lived. So there's no difference between what you're doing today in your life in Krishna consciousness than what he did.
And one other question was, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked the sannyasis about whoever didn't have illicit sex within the past month or past 6 days or 3 days. I was just wondering, is there really that many like bogus sannyasis?
Well, at that particular time, there was a lot of so-called devotees were taking these initiations and becoming Babaji's because it was a way of life. And in the time of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it was one of his main focuses to actually clean up this illicit activity of so-called bhaktas, so-called devotees of Krishna. And Srila Bhakti Saranta Maharaj was also very prominent in ridding India of these particular charlatans. So, yes, it wasn't uncommon to have so many of those individuals living as they're a sannyasi or a babaji, and in that way they would make a livelihood. And then it was known that they would actually have a lot of illicit connection with a lot of, single women. That would be continuously happening. So, that's what was going on. Even no more than 20 years ago, 25 years ago, we were going to India. There were so many of these kind of individuals that were walking around in a Babaji type attire, just having a loincloth and walking around in Vrindavan. But actually they were doing nothing. They were just old men just coming to Vrindavan to develop a livelihood. But they weren't really there to preach, give Krishna consciousness, and to associate in a Krishna conscious manner. They were just simply using it as a livelihood. And many times you'd see these individuals smoking bidis and drinking tea, smoking bidis, cigarettes, and they'd be walking around in this type of Babaji dress. So in this particular time period, it was very prominent. It was overrun. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur made it his mission to stop this stuff, along with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. Yes, so there were that many. Anything else? Yes.
Thank you for a nice class. It was really interesting to hear that when Bhaktivinoda requested initiation from Guru Kishore Babaji, he said he will ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then he forgot.
Does anybody have what?
When he was asking, when Bhaktisiddhanta came to ask for initiation, the answer he received that they were going to check with Mahaprabhu, but then he forgot to ask Mahaprabhu. And then he had to come 13 times again.
Well, they said check. In that letter, in my reading, they said they weren't sure how many times, anywhere from 4 to 13 times, yeah.
So my question is, I'm sure both of them being pure devotees, they could recognize the sincerity on each other. So for us who are not at that level, you know, sometimes we go ask for something from our guru and there's no response and we become so like, I'm just like not worth it. Why should I do this? And what was the meaning of that going back 13 or 4 times to request back and forth this? What is this lila? I mean,
First of all, I think Gaur Kishore Das Babaji kind of like, I'm not sure if he made a vow, but he never wanted to take any disciples. That was number one. So he really didn't feel that he wanted anyone. He didn't really feel that there was anyone maybe qualified to take initiation. And so that wasn't his desire. At the same time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's father, realized that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was a very esoteric, intelligent, intellectual, very powerful devotee. And I think that he knew that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had this kind of little bit of, like even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said he had a certain kind of egoism, a very erudite scholar. In fact, wasn't he renowned for finding some planet? Wasn't Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, didn't he discover a planet? Does anyone know? A star, planet? Do you know that, Dhritakarma Prabhu? I forget what it was. He's in the books. He's in the books of astrology for having... Yeah. I thought I read something too where he was actually, because of that, he actually discovered some star or whatever. I forget what that was. But anyway, he was really an erudite, scholarly person. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Maharaj, he knew that. So this is why he ordered him to take initiation from Gaurakishore Das Babaji, I think knowing that it would be not an easy thing for him to do. And eventually, even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says here that from that association, he realized who he really was, and it humbled him. And when he finally came to that point where he was really humbled, then Gaurakishore Das Babaji experienced, felt his love, and in that way he gave him that initiation. Now, that's not going to happen in all circumstances, obviously, but the point is that when one is ready to take initiation, one should be very determined to come to that point where we surrender to a bona fide spiritual master. That's really the point, the essence of this, of that pastime, is that regardless of who we are and what our position is, we should be determined to take that initiation from a bona fide spiritual master. And no matter what the circumstances, no matter what it takes, we should go forward and do that. I think that's the real essence of that particular understanding. I mean, really, we should realize, I think, that we're all, you know, we're all knotted up, we're all tied up in this material world, you know. Karma granti. Granti means like a rope. And, you know, karma means our activities. So we're like all bound up by our activities in this material world. Like there's a saying in English, they say hogtied. You heard this saying, hogtied? Hogtied means that you're tied up so heavy you cannot even move. You can't even twitch. You're so tied up. So this is our position. We're tied up by the you know, laws of material nature. We need to have this association of a guru, and we need to hear about individuals such as Gaurakishore Das Babaji, because when we hear that, then it gives us an opportunity to question a little bit, you know, about our activities and what we do in life. So, you know, we're trying to enjoy the body, our senses, and we try so hard, but we don't really realize that the body is actually a cause of our... It's like a punishment. Really, it's you're being punished by the very body that we're trying to utilize for sense gratification. And you realize that punishment more as you get older. You know, when you're young, youthful age, you can, like, push through it. You can push through everything. You don't care. But as you get older, a little bit more mature, you realize that this material body is really a punishment. So... if we come to that point, we question who we are, what we are, where we come from. This is the essence of life. If we just kind of let things go and say, "Oh, everything's okay," you know, "I'm okay, I'm enjoying life." This is what the materialists want to do. They want to forget. Srila Prabhupada always would use the example of a hog, a pig, and you get that feeling of that example in India, like a hog. It's abominable. I mean, you know, they look ugly, they're fat, and if you go to India, they're always drenched in mud that's mixed with stool, and they're always looking to eat stool. So you can just imagine the abominable situation that a living entity puts himself in, and he's forgetful of that. He thinks he's a hog. And as long as he has some sense enjoyment, well, the hog's happy. I mean, it eats nicely. It's nice and fatty. It enjoys sense gratification. Has sex. A hog has sex indiscriminately. Sister, mother, doesn't matter. Just indiscriminately has sex. And so we're seeing this hog. We're looking at this hog and we think, "Oh my God, how disgusting. How abominable." But if you could actually talk to the hog, he'd probably tell you, I love it. This is for me. I love this." And there was a good story behind that with Lord Indra. He was cursed to become a hog. So he had to go down to the planet Earth, and he had to become a hog. And he had a hogwashy wife, you know, and had little piglets. And they were enjoying life. He was actually very happy. And so the heavenly planets, they were becoming in disarray without his leadership. So they came down and visited Lord Indra and tried to explain to him who you are. You're not a pig. You're actually Lord Indra. We need you back up in the heavenly planets to lead us, to have order once again. And he said, no. No, I'm so happy here with my wife and my piglets and eating stool and laying in mud. Forget it. And the only thing that woke up Lord Indra was that one day he saw the farmer sharpening the axe to kill him and his family. And then he woke up and he realized, oh my God, I'm not a pig. I need to go back. So we see that this consciousness of who we are and where we come from, it's extremely important. And we need to get out of this particular material world, this filthy place. This is actually a very filthy place. If we have the proper consciousness, we'll know that. Otherwise, we'll be like the hog. Everything's okay. Everything's cool. I love my life. Everything's going on very good. But if you have higher consciousness, just like if you have higher consciousness and you're looking at that hog and his family and what he's doing, you think, this is abominable. How is that possible? So the Krishna conscious philosophy is that we raise our consciousness and then we see the material world for what it is, for what it really is. And only when you have that consciousness can you really start thinking about who you are. Who am I? You know, where do I come from? And we see that as long as we think, oh, I'm okay, everything's good, I'm happy, this is what we call Maya. This is Maya. This is illusion. A big illusion, just like Indra was in big illusion. And this is what's going on. It's stated that there's two different kinds of Shaktis. Avaranatmika Shakti. It's like an ignorance. The material energy puts an ignorance over the living entity. Engulfs him, covers him in this ignorance. And that ignorance is that one thinks, oh, I'm good. Everything's good. Life's cool. Life is very nice. Everything's good. This is a certain kind of Shakti of material energy. And it covers the living entity in complete ignorance. Just like the pig. And then we see there's another one, Prakshepatmika. And this is another Shakti of the material energy which affects a devotee. Like sometimes a person comes to Krishna consciousness and there's this Shakti that creates all kinds of obstacles in coming to Krishna consciousness and making advancement. And we see that, like when I was a new devotee, it wasn't uncommon for somebody knocking on the door and asking for Bobby. And you say, well, who are you? I'm Susie, his girlfriend. And so we said, well, when Bobby's not here right now, well, when he comes back, could you tell him I came? So these are obstacles that are presented by Maya, by illusion. Why? Because she has a thankless task of making sure that whoever comes to this Krishna conscious movement is a sincere soul. A person who's seriously endeavoring to become purified. So it wasn't unusual in the old days for a lot of girlfriends coming, wives, husbands, boyfriends, mother, father, all saying, no, don't do this. You're ruining your life. Yeah, what are you doing? You're going to ruin your life if you stay here in this Krishna conscious movement. And this is a type of Shakti of the material energy. Just like Haridasa Thakur, he was tested by Maya Devi herself, personally. She came to stop his sadhana. So we should see that there's a Shakti. There's one that you think you're okay. And another one is like when you try to be sincere, you get tested. And you start thinking, oh, it's too hard. This is way too hard, man. I didn't sign up for this. Too many restrictions. I got to get up that early in the morning? Ah, forget it. You know, this is a type of Shakti that the material energy throws at us in order to derail our Krishna consciousness. So then that's the purpose of reading these kind of wonderful pastimes of a pure devotee of the Lord, how they're determined. They're not deviated. They're focused on the essence, the execution of Krishna consciousness. And as long as we're, you know, thinking everything's okay, then we're in karma granti. We're simply going to go on and on and on and get tied up with our karmic activities, the activities that we perform, that we think. So, this material energy is very powerful. Daivahi esha gunamayi mamamaya duratyaya. It's insurmountable. You know, it's not that easy to come to the point where you say, oh, you know, I'm going to just ride it through. No. It's very insurmountable. And it's only by the association of a pure devotee of the Lord, like Srila Prabhupada. We read about people like Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So, the material world is simply a place where boy meets girl, girl meets boy. This is what the material world's about. And if you didn't know that, then I'm sorry that I exposed it to you. But that's the material world. This is what it's all about. In any sphere, doesn't matter where it is. It can be an insect. It can be whatever, an animal, a human being, even for instance, a demigod. Just like we're reading in Bhagavatam for this last chapter that we just were reading. I mean, how many times do you read about counter-cursing, cursing, progeny? You know, this is the material world. And this is why we have to understand that it's not easy, that we're all absorbed in this material life, and that we're all attracted to the same thing. None of us are freed from it. Maybe you think you are, but we're not freed from this. What does it say? It says, "Pumsastriya mituni bhavam etam," that we are just simply attracted to sex life. Indra, he was a pig. We see the pigs are doing it, all kinds of animals. And this is our position. We're all attracted by this sex. And this is the most difficult thing to overcome. And so many examples, Prabhupada has spoken about this in so many times. Just like when I was a young man, that there was the hippie movement. And all of us could give up so many things. We gave up our families. Some people that I knew that were my personal friends, they came from very rich families. I mean, super rich. They owned big businesses, and we just left that. We just wanted to become hippies. We didn't care if we bathed. We didn't care if we had a closet of clothes. We didn't care if we worked. We didn't care if we had an education. We just wanted to enjoy. But there's one thing we couldn't give up. Can you guess what that was? Yeah. That's the thing we couldn't give up. Can you imagine? We gave up all that stuff, but we couldn't give that up. Until we met Srila Prabhupada. Then it really blew your mind. Because you really thought you were doing everything you already could do. But that, wow. This is really, this is very difficult. So, you know, this is the importance of actually really becoming absorbed in hearing about these pastimes and also becoming a really armed, you know, with how to cut this knot. It's described how you can cut it. Yad anudyasanya yukta. That you have to hear the messages of Krishna. Shushusho Sharadanasya Vasudeva Katavruchi San Mahatseva Vipya Punya Chirtanam. You know, we have to hear the messages of Krishna from the pure devotee of the Lord. If you that's the sword. That hearing is the sword that cuts that knot, knot of karma, that cycle of karma, and that granti, that knot, that knot that's so difficult, bound up, hog-tied. Only by this activity of hearing about Krishna and his pure devotees can we cut that knot of material existence. And Prabhupada gave us a formula. There is a formula how to achieve that level. Prabhupada gives you a formula about adau shraddha. One should have appreciation. Prabhupada said, from appreciation in Krishna consciousness, you develop faith. If you appreciate devotees and you appreciate Krishna consciousness, your faith is increased. You become very, well, this is really good. I like this. This is really nice. Just from that activity, like if you meet someone on book distribution and say, oh yeah, I heard about you people. Hey, you guys are really nice. Just that statement alone begins their spiritual life because it shows a little spark of faith in what you're doing out in the street meeting people. Just that little spark is the beginning of that person's spiritual life. And then from this adau shraddha, it comes sadhu sangha, association. Then if they appreciate and they like the devotees, then they say, well, you know, let me go check a temple out. Let me find out. Where is there a temple? So I can get some sadhu sangha, some association of devotees. And by association of a devotee or devotees, then we get bhajanakriya. And what is bhajanakriya? It's service. We want to do some service for Krishna. And we see that that's how people progress. We see a bhakta here. They met a devotee, a book distributor. They appreciated the devotee. They thought, oh, let me get some association. And from association, then they want to do something. They want to serve Krishna. And this is bhajanakriya. And so we see that this is a natural progression. And from that natural progression, the basis of it is to get ruchi. Because people work out there like anything. If you talk to some people out there, they're working 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week. Why? Because ruchi. They've tasted something. They've tasted sense gratification. They've tasted sex. They've tasted money. They've tasted power. And from that ruchi, they do all sorts of things, abominable things. So in us, if we just cling to sadhu sangha, bhajanakriya, our service, and then after that, we can develop nishta, firm faith. Just like if you talk to some of these guys that are, those gurus that enthusiasm, what are they called? Motivational. Yeah, motivational speakers. They've got strong nishta and faith in what they're doing. You know, isn't it? They're locked in. You listen to my, idea, you're going to make $1 million. And if you do it and you say, I did it, you say, do it again. You didn't do it sincerely enough. And then do it again till you get that $1 million or power or whatever you need or want. So this is nishta. So we need that nishta in Krishna consciousness. And when that nishta is firm, firm faith, then it's called ruchi, taste. Then we have a taste. And that's the difference. That's what we want, taste. So if we're having a problem in Krishna consciousness, maybe we need to look up that formula again. Adau shraddha. Maybe go back again to square one and say, wow, I really appreciate the devotees. I appreciate what they're doing. I really appreciate what Srila Prabhupada gave us. And then if you appreciate again, you think about that, then, wow, I really appreciate the devotees too. I remember that devotee that preached to me the first time about Krishna consciousness, and I really missed that person. That was so sweet. Sadhu Sangha. Then from Sadhu Sangha, bhajanakriya. Now look at your service. Think about, wow, look at the service I've been given by Krishna and how I should protect that service. Because those activities of bhajanakriya, they're the the sword that we need to cut the knot of this karma granti. That's what we need, to cut that knot, because we wonder, well, what are we going to do to cut that knot? This is what we do. We follow that formula. And then, after you have bhajana kriya, then you have anartha nivritti syat. Anartha nivritti is bad habits. We all have bad habits. And one of our bad habits is the desire for illicit sex. And that heart, that desire is deep within the heart. And we can cut that knot by this activity of association of devotees, appreciation, by bhajana kriya, serving. And once you cut those bad habits out, then it's bliss. It's bliss. It's nishta, firm. And then from nishta you have taste. Just like the karmis have taste for material activities, we can develop taste for Krishna conscious activities. So this is why we listen and hear from these great souls. Because hearing is what it's all about. Hearing. This is the most important thing, to hear from them, to hear their message. And that message is like that sword that cuts the knot. This Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I guess I got a little carried away. I'm sorry about that. But is there anything else somebody would like to say? In terms of Babaji Maharaj or anything else? Okay? Okay. Thank you very much. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you.